Good morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the 26th Sunday after Pentecost. It's rare that we make it this far with 26 of these Sundays. So count yourself fortunate to be here today because typically we end on the 23rd Sunday or 22nd, but 26 Sundays, half a year in the season of Pentecost. And you've all done it. Very good.
Glory to you.
While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. For behold, a day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. That day is the day that shall be coming, where they will be set ablaze, says the Lord of hosts. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs in heaven. Yay! It is the end of the church year, and it is the time where we begin to talk about the end times. The times where we'd hear about all of the horrible things happening in the world, all of the chaos, all of the fear and intrepidation about what in the world is going on in the world. We've been seeing that a lot the last several months. From the election, and now even after the election, it doesn't matter who you were for, the way people are treating one another, the hearing of wars and rumors of wars, the hearing of crazy things happening
throughout the world. It seems like we are ending our drought a little bit out here in California, but now we have just heard in our own family, back from family in Tennessee and the Carolinas, that they are in an extreme drought, and many fires are burning even close by where we used to live. Things are happening all over the world. They will continue to happen to the world. And in many ways, there are those prognosticators who like to say, see that? See that? See that? That means that the end of the world is coming. Tensions are arising in the Middle East. Jesus is coming soon. He may be here next month. This person was elected into this position. The world is all going to fall apart. The economy is beginning to tank. People are wondering what's going to happen with their retirement or anything else. Jesus must be coming soon. These days, it seems like the talk of the end of the world seems to be on the rise. But this is nothing new. Do you remember the guy, Harold Camping, back in 2012? We're not even supposed to be here right now. According to him, he said, I believe in May 21st, 2012, something like that, the world was going to end. People were selling their houses, cashing in their IRAs. They were buying campers to go all across the country to tell people of the impending doom. And there were those who laughed at him and those people who did that, maybe even myself a little bit, because Scripture says that no one knows when the time is going to come. No one knows the hour or the day, not even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ himself, true God and true man, knows. But the reality is this, it is going to happen. It will happen. And it's not a matter of how prepared you are or how ready you are. As we heard from 2 Thessalonians this morning from Paul, no matter what we face in life, do not give up on doing good. Good for one another. Living out your life not for yourself and what you think you must have in this life, but living out your life with the idea that you are here to serve and love and care for one another. Do we know when this is going to happen? No. Under normal circumstances, we can't wait for Jesus to come back. But yet, through all of the things with tensions in the Middle East and election years, things always sort of rise up with anticipation. And then this year, the Cubs and the Indians were even in the World Series. I thought it was going to happen. People have been looking to the skies, especially when things are their worst, but this is nothing new. Everyone wants our gospel reading for today to be the signs of the end of the world, but they're not. Take that with you today. These signs that you heard from Jesus, this long list where you're probably saying, how long are we going to stand for this reading? These are not signs of the end of the world. They are the signs of what the world is going to be like that you and I have to live in. And that hasn't changed since the fall. Jesus said today, these things must first take place, but it is not soon the end. Did you hear that? These things must first take place, but it is not soon the end. What Jesus describes for us today is what every day of our life is going to be like. Hey, there is nothing new about wars and tumults of wars. There's nothing new about earthquakes and famines. There's nothing new about terrors and great signs in heavens. Nothing new about kings and rulers persecuting you because of Christ. Nothing new about everything you are holding dear being lost. There is nothing new with people fainting with fear and with foreboding at what is happening in the world. What is new is what Jesus tells you to do when these things come upon you. Now, when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Yay. There's nothing that can possibly happen to you that Jesus Christ has not already endured on your behalf. Everything you fear, everything that you loathe, everything that you cannot stand, the corruption, the lies, the worry, the fear, everything that could possibly hurt you, Jesus has overcome it all for you. But the reality is there's no pretending that it doesn't seem like these things aren't happening or aren't coming. There's no promise that as Christians we'll just live in a bubble and skip all of the craziness of the world. It is soon not the end. But the end is coming. And concerning that day and hour, no one knows, as we said, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. And he has said, it will happen. None of us can know the hour, the day, or the week, or month, or year, or decade, or century, or millennium when our Lord has set aside to put an end to this world. And anyone who says otherwise is calling God a liar. Even if they're on the Christian television, the Christian radio, or in the Christian bookstore. But what makes this now all the more important for you and for me today is what Jesus has given us to do. To repent now. To repent of all of the things that we have done and left undone against God and against one another. And to believe now. To ask for God's mercy now. As we sing in the Kyrie, in peace let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus desires for us to be forgiven now, to receive his word and his sacrament now. He isn't telling you that he's waiting to give it all to you. He is here now through these things that he has promised. It's ready and finished for you right now. For he has died on the cross, suffered all of the sin, shame, and guilt that you have heaped upon yourself and upon one another. He has died for all of that, and he's risen from the dead, victorious. All in order to take away sin, all in order to give you life, all in order to tell you that there is so much more to live for beyond this world. But all the more so to get you through this world. No matter what we are facing in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Because it's not the stones of some temple in the Middle East that matter. It's not the kingdoms and elected officials of this world. It's not even the freedom that we have in this country. It is you. That matters to Christ. You are worth enduring all of the sin and evil and death of the world, and he has done it for you. You are worth the death of God's Son. You, in his eyes, are worth saving because he sees something in you that we can't even see in ourselves or one another. The world has already done its worst, no matter how much it foments and rages. It can't do anything more to you. So that when the world comes to you with its sin, its death, its destruction, and its despair, raise your head up. Stand up firm. Be of good cheer. Your victory has already been won. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen.